It was, what, back in May 27th, 2001. It was during that time when Martin Burnham had just returned from his trip in the Philippines. He and his wife had been serving there in the Philippines for a number of years. He was in aviation, and therefore he had to travel here and yonder, going on various things, overseeing the aviation program for New Tribes Mission. Because he had gone, been gone for a while, he came home and Gracia said, "Hey, we're going to get away together. A little resort thing." And that's exactly what they did. They went away. But it just so happened it was interrupted because at that time there was a guerrilla group, the Abbasaf, that entered in, unbeknown to them what was going to happen. They were taken captive. And many of you probably remember this when it took place. When this all took place at the time, I want to show you, to you just a little clip of what happened when they were held captive by these guerrillas, we'll call them. A very pathetic situation. It was a Filipino woman who was able to get in there and to take the picture of Gracia Burnham, Martin Burnham, while they're being held captive. Would you take a look at this? You have to hit the red if you see it there. I hope it works. Thank you. Okay. Chris, could you cut the slide now? That'll give you just a little idea of, here's a young couple who commit themselves to serve in missions. They had spent years in the Philippines serving God, doing what God sensed to, God called them there. They were convinced of that. But even though they went there, they encountered this difficulty. It was threatening to them. It was June 7th of 2002. They were released. Oh, wait a minute. I should correct myself. Released? What do I mean by that? Gracia Burnham was shot in the leg. She did come back to the States. Martin was released from this old earth and was entering into the presence of the Lord. He was shot to death. All because they served God. Had they not obeyed the Great Commission, what would happen? They've been back in the States, probably had a job. Everything went well. And Christy, you have the PowerPoint on there. This kind of give a little of the challenges that would be faced for those who would obey. They moved out by faith, trusting that God would move and do some tremendous things along that line. Now, with that, you know, I'll get used to. Oh, yeah. I'm getting used to your PowerPoint thing. It's a little different than mine here. I think it works. I'm not sure it works. I think I need your help, brother. Oh, okay. Here we go. All right. Sorry about the interruptions. But anyway, we'll move right on here. Why pray? You've now heard Gracia Burnham as she was expressing herself through that horrible experience for one long year. And there were people praying. I know we prayed. Some of you older folk, you probably remember that. And you may have prayed for them as well. It's a devastating situation. We never knew what the outcome was going to be. But after all the prayers around the world, and especially here in the U.S. that were acquainted with them, what good did it do to pray? Martin still lost his life. And even she had to go through all the misery of that whole year. And I put some extra things on the line here just to make us think a little bit more with regards to the problem that we have here. And I can't see it because of the light here too much. All right, it just seems like faith doesn't seem to work. We believe when we prayed, and many people prayed, they believed that God was going to do something. Now, let me ask you the question, because this is the theme that we have in these 2 days that we have. What good does it do to pray? How in the world was God glorified through that horrible crisis or circumstance like that? And by the way, this is not too uncommon. It happens quite often. And you've probably heard of other people serving God at a great sacrifice. Having said all this, then, I want to call your attention to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11, as we move on into our study. I put this one verse of scripture, which I think is really good. And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. The Apostle Paul was saying that. He wrote to Timothy, his young companion. And when he did that, take note, to him be the glory. To God be the glory. Because God delivered. But my question is, does God always deliver? Martin, was he really delivered? I mean, back from the Philippines, get back in the States? It didn't happen that way. Well, with that thought in mind, then, we move on in our study here. Okay, it'll come here. Okay, I just referenced Hebrews chapter 11 here, and I want you to turn to that passage of Scripture. And what we do, for those of you who would remember, Hebrews chapter 11 is the chapter on faith. People who believe God, even in the impossible situations. And with that thought in mind, I think that there's some lessons that we can learn here on faith and how we're going to step out and trust God regardless of what the outcome may be. Do you understand? Martin and Gracia Burnham had no idea how everything was going to work out during that whole year of captivity. But they are eventually were set free. As I said a moment ago, she came back to the States. He went on to the Heavenly Father with Christ. Well, having said that then, Hebrews chapter 11, I'll draw your attention, and I want to share with you four simple little principles you never want to forget when you accept the challenge of God to do whatever he tells us to do. So with that in mind, I put here my first little point. Please do not forget it. Now, here it is. Faith sometimes changes the circumstances. Could you say that with me? Everybody read it together. How many of you went to the first grade? Oh, you did? You learned how to read. Would you read that with me now, everybody? Faith. Now, I'm used to working in the classroom, and therefore I get the students trying to respond to me on that. So I'll treat you like a classroom this morning, all right? But yeah, faith sometimes changes the circumstances. And what I'd like you to do is look to Hebrews chapter 11, and I want to give you some biblical illustrations of how faith has worked. Let's look at verse 30 of chapter 11. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. Now, you remember, if you know the Old Testament, what happened. God had given Israel instructions to go into the promised land, but they faced Jericho first of all. Now, hey, the city was a heathen, pagan city, and it was to be taken. But how? Israel didn't have any bombs. It didn't have little airplanes to fly over and drop bombs onto the city. How are they going to take the city? The city had great walls, and the Israelites couldn't climb up over the walls. It wouldn't work out. What are they going to do? And God said, walk around the city. You remember the situation. 7 long days. They kept marching. Oh, come on. That's not how you take a city, is it? And in context, hey, they did. How? Because by faith, those walls came down. And God delivered the city of Jericho in the hands of the Israelites. Does God work through faith? Yes or no? Absolutely, he does. Now, we have other illustrations, and I can't spend time on all of them, but you'll take note. Let's drop down to verse 32. And what more shall I say? For the time would fall on me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stop the mouths of lions. Who that might that be? Was it not the Old Testament prophet Daniel? And then we go on. They quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became violent in battle, worked to or turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women receive their dead, raised to life again. All these things that I just mentioned to you were acts all by faith. Look what great things happen when people believe God. Amen? Great things happen when we believe God. And I remember, in fact, I was sharing a little bit earlier with Terry and his wife, when we came home from Brazil. And it was, back in 1986, or no, 88, I guess, something like that. And Debbie, our daughter, came down with cancer. Now, she was 12 years old at the time. She's our only girl. Obviously, when the biopsy all came back, it said, well, she only has 6% chance to live. Needless to say, we were grieved. It was heartbroken. But we asked people to pray. Everyone we know, pray for Debbie, that God might have the wisdom to know how to deal with this whole situation. Well, God did intervene. And in spite of the odds were against her to even survive, Debbie is alive today. She's a pastor's wife in Northern Maryland, in Westminster, Maryland. God does great things. Amen? And the reason comes by the principle here that we have. Can you read it with me again? Faith. But you notice I put there sometimes. I didn't say always, right? And the reason comes by our second point here. Faith sometimes does not change the circumstances. Oh, do you notice where I stopped in the text? Hebrews chapter 11. Let's pick up on this. Now, by faith, women did receive the dead raised again. And there's the illustration of that in the Old Testament. But notice the rest. Starting, others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trials of mockings and scourgings. Yes, and of chains and of imprisonments. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder, believing that was probably Isaiah. Were tempted, were slain by the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins, and goatskins, were destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. Tell me, these people also believed God. But even though they believed God, the outcome was not glorious. They were struggling. I think of Jeremiah, the Old Testament prophet, who for 50 years he had prophesied. He did what God told him to do. And in the end, what happened? Not one convert. But what happened? The Jews took him down into Egypt, and there they killed him. He was a martyr. But he believed God. You see, faith sometimes changes the circumstances. But we have to qualify that and also say faith sometimes does not change the circumstances. There's no promise that God's always going to deliver. Sometimes he may not deliver, at least the way we would want it to be. Now, Martin Burnham was delivered, as I said, but into the presence of God. That's not what Gracia probably would have liked. She would probably have liked him to come back with her to the States here and be delivered from all the misery they were going through. That's not the way it was in God's plan. Gracia Burnham has been back to Liberty University several times. Her son graduated from the aviation program there and is serving on a mission field today. But Gracia has given testimony time and time again of God and how he was able to bring them through. Even through the death of Martin, she was able to stand up. Why? Because she believed God. Now, having said all this, I want to move on to another thing. All these men, whether you look at verse 30 through 35, all those great things that happened because people believed God. And even though we go through verses 35 all the way down to 37, even though there are people who believed God and things didn't work out for them, hey, they were still all heroes of the faith. But notice, and we move on to a third point here. And the third point that I put up, and again, I can't quite see it all because of the light here, but I put this here. In those devastating situations, how do we really respond to some of them? And I'm saying this in the sense that David, the Old Testament king, he kind of expresses this way. And look with me. How long, O Lord, will you forget me? Forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? David, he went through those times when he was struggling likewise. And he would call upon God, and it seemed as though God was silent. And God didn't say anything. God, why don't you tell me what you're doing? Now, I want to ask all of you, honestly, have you ever questioned that when you were going through a very difficult time, through a crisis? Have you ever done that? One, two, three, four. Oh, now the hands are off. How many of you have ever gone through a difficulty? Yeah. We all have. And no doubt many of us would have been like David in what he is saying here. Lord, just say something so we can know. And God doesn't. What? Because we're resting on faith. A faith that will honor God, glorify him, mind you. Now, I continue with another verse of David. Lord, how long will you look on? Rescue me if you only come to do something. But remember once again, in our two little points that we have here, faith sometimes changes the circumstances. But faith sometimes does not change the circumstances. I want to move on here to a third point that I get out of this. And once again, if it'll come, there it comes. Here's the third principle I want to share with you this morning. And that is, faith never judges God by the circumstances. Now, would you read that with me also? Everybody together. Faith never judges God. Now, don't forget that. The tendency is to judge God quite often. And I know that there have been some students that I've had who have testified this. I had one guy who was in my world religion class, 2 years ago. He's an outright atheist who had come to Liberty to finish his studies. Comes from a very conservative, fundamental background. However, what happened is that he wound up and he turned his back against God, refused to believe in God. And why did he refuse to believe God anymore? He was judging God by circumstances. You can't do that. Well, why can't you do that? Now, I want to just mention just a few little samples of this, which would create a lot of doubt when we're going through affliction. And the Burnhams, and by the way, many other missionaries have gone through this as well. And I'm going to say that a missionary is not any different than any of you, because you'll go through those hard times too. And when you go through those hard times, you're going to have to come to the same conclusions as what the missionary does too, when they go through difficulty and with some kind of a struggle. Now with this, I think of Corrie ten Boom, Hiding Place. Did any of you see that movie put out years ago? There was a book also written by Corrie ten Boom on that. The struggles that she and her sister Betsy had to go through. During World War II, her family was hiding Jewish people. Obviously, many of those Jewish people were literally slaughtered, if you remember, under Hitler and so on. A horrible situation. Now that Betsy and Corey were put in this concentration camp, a lot of hard labor and so on. But Corey had a little New Testament she was able to hide from those who were overseeing the camp. And she would gather together with Betsy and a few others, and they would read over the scriptures for comfort through the difficult time and the crisis that would be there. And I remember that Betsy eventually got sick, and eventually she died while in the concentration camp. And there's all that grief that Corey is going through. Why, God, she believed God. Now the point is that, hey, we come back to this point here. Faith never judges God by the circumstance. Corey never turned her back against God because Betsy died or because her family died. Yes, Corey was released eventually, was able to make her way to the United States. But there's that grief and heartache and the questions, the doubt would always be there on that. So we come back. That's only one illustration. Here's another one I would give to you readily. It's a mission-related one. And that was, we're going to go back to 1993. There were three missionaries that were kidnapped. They were new tribes of missionaries in the Panama. The men, Dave Mankins, Rick Tennerhoff, and also Mark Rich, they had been working among a tribal people when at nighttime, here were some Colombian guerrillas who came in and literally confiscated whatever they had in their homes, left the women and the kids behind, took the three men off. For three long years, these women had no idea what had happened to their husbands. And it went on. I remember during that time, I was teaching in Appalachian Bible College, and we had two of these women come and share in what we had chapel. And there was some grief. They didn't know, would they ever see their husbands anymore? Would they? And I remember the one young woman, and that was Mark Rich's wife. She just had two little girls. They weren't married all that long. But what's going to be for the future? It was heartaching to hear what they were going through. After 3 long years, finally, word came through. All 3 of them were shot to death. It's a horrible report. Oh, yes, they're with the Lord. But look at what the women had to go through. And then along with that, after it was reported where the men were shot, 3 long years of misery, waiting to see what it would happen. Then Patty Tendernoff, one of the widows now, her apartment had burnt. All her possessions were literally lost. She and her young girl was left penniless and had nothing. So losing her husband, now all this added tragedy. Why? And the question comes again, why? But Patty, along with the other widows, had to come back to the same thing here. Faith never judges God by the circumstances. Now, with that thought in mind, I want to move on here. There's some different reasons for that, and I want to list them here for you. Here they are. First of all, I put, faith is not based on the circumstances. Are you with me? We're not trusting God for the circumstances. We never know what those circumstances are going to happen on that. And with that thought in mind, I want you to turn to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John. You're familiar with that, I'm sure. In the Gospel of John, you remember a situation we have here. And that is this whole matter of, well, there's a friendship that Jesus had developed with a family. Mary, Martha, and who's the other guy? Lazarus. I knew you knew that. Now, with that in mind, here are these 3. Lazarus gets extremely sick. And if you would, in your Bible, look with me now at verse 3. Now, therefore, in light of Lazarus' sickness, therefore, the sisters sent to him, that is to Christ, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. Now, right away you would think, oh, the Lord loves him. He's going to come, and right away he's going to heal him. Remove that sickness. Amen? No, that's not what happened. For if you follow along, and let's jump down a little bit here to verse 6. So when he, that is the Lord, heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days. In other words, he lingered in the place where he was. Now you tell me, what kind of love is that? If Jesus really loved, he would have come and he would have touched him, would have healed him. Lazarus would have been okay. But that's not what happened. It isn't what happened. In fact, if you would go on just a little bit farther, let's go down to verse 11. And I know I'm jumping some verses here, but okay. These things he said, after that he had said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may waken him. Oh, come on. It wasn't just sleep. Yeah, if you're asleep, then you can be woken up, right? Did you have anybody wake you up this morning? You can be woken up. But in this case, Jesus has to clarify it. And he says in verse 14, Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus dead. You mean that God allowed Lazarus to die? Christ allowed that? Then obviously, now judging God by the circumstances, what happens? Then Jesus really didn't love him. Oh, be careful. What was the purpose why Jesus didn't go? Why didn't Jesus heal him? Oh, I deliberately jumped a verse. Would you look with me at verse 4? When Jesus heard the news that Lazarus was sick, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for what? Everybody, for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified in him. Get the point. God had a plan in this through the tragedy of life. God had a plan in, Martin Burnham dying. God has a plan when those other 3 missionaries I told you about, they die. God had a plan in that. If you remember, and those of you who were alive back in 1956, I remember. I was a teenager at the time. And there were five missionaries killed in Ecuador, if you remember, by the Alca Indians. Oh, it looked horrible. But out of their death, the Alca Indians, the Wadani now they call, many of them had trusted Christ. Lives have been changed. Even because of the death of those missionaries, many, many others were raised up in this country here to go forth as missionaries. And they went forth propagating the gospel message. There were good things that came out of horrible things. Once again, I come back to the thought, faith is not based on the circumstances. Amen? Well, then what are they based on? Well, that leads us to the second point. Faith is based on the promises of God. Now, in the illustration of that, I put Daniel chapter 3. So turn with me in your Bibles to that. Daniel chapter 3. We're jumping back in the Old Testament, but a tremendous example here of how faith is based on the promises of God. And here the situation is where the Israelites have been taken over into Babylon. Now, there are some special friends of Daniel, which you know of, Shadrach, Meshach. What's the other guy's name? Some of you know Abednego. Now, they're called on the carpet because Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had built this monstrous golden image and demanded that everybody bow down to that hideous image, except these three men. They were God-fearing Jews. They had a love for God and would obey God's command, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." They refused to obey the king. So they're called before Nebuchadnezzar. And what is this? You pick this up in verse 15 of Daniel chapter 3. "Now if you are ready at the time, you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, the cymbal," let me be back here. I lost my track here. Yeah, "and they fall down and they worship the image. Then take note, but if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hand?" Now, they're at a crisis. They don't know what's going to be the outcome. There's a threatening situation. They're going to be put to death. If they don't bow down to that image, then what's going to happen? They're going to be thrown in that fiery furnace. Notice now, especially the response in verse 17 and verse 18. Here are God-fearing men when there is a threatening situation upon them. Verse 17. "If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us from your hand, O king." Oh, that's very positive. They didn't know that for sure. God could deliver them. But you notice verse 18. They, not knowing for sure whether God would deliver or not, he says, "But if not," that is, "but if God does not deliver, let it be known unto you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Oh boy, did you get the point here? Hey, we are believing God regardless of the circumstances. If God delivers, amen, praise God. On the other hand, if God doesn't, amen, praise God. God's got a plan. I'm going to stick with God's plan, whether I understand it or whether I do not. Are you with me? Now come back. Would you read with me the first two statements here? They're extremely important to remember. When we're looking at this fact, we don't judge God by the circumstances. Why? Number one, let's read it. Faith is not based on circumstances. Number two, everybody, faith is based. Boy, if we could just grasp and hold of that. But I draw your attention to what I put in the yellow here, and it's extremely important. Faith is not just receiving from God what we want, but the ability to accept what he gives us, good or bad, for from our perspective and be thankful. That's faith. A faith that glorifies God. A faith that honors God. We can't lose with that. We can't lose. But then that leads us on. And that is to my fourth point that I'd have here. Faith always, always overcomes the circumstances. Always? Is that really true? I can't really believe that, because Martin Burnham died obeying God, being a servant of God, and it didn't work out right. Oh? There's another passage I want you to look at for just a moment or two. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 11. Because there's a man who, just like you and I, we will question at times when we're going through a dilemma, a crisis, a very threatening situation. And when we go through that, I want to draw your attention to what is said in this passage. Now, you'll take note, the context, if your Bible is outlined like mine, is about John the Baptist. John has been put in the slammer. You know what I mean? He's in jail or prison. And things are not too pleasant there. Now, I remember what those situations are. Some years ago, I was in Zaire, Africa. It's now called Congo. And I remember that not too far away from the mission headquarters in eastern Zaire, there was a prison. It's not like some of our prisons that we have in this country here by any means. In fact, if the prisoner is going to eat anything, it's because the family will bring food in for him to eat. The jail does not provide any food. It's filthy. When you have to go to the bathroom, there is no bathroom. It's a very unpleasant, and you can only imagine that. Now, in some ways, I would say a little bit, this is probably somewhat the same situation or context in which John is. He's in a miserable prison. It's not going to be with a TV and all the little luxuries that we have in our prisons, all right? So he begins to doubt and question his own mind. It was this John, by the way, who earlier said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." It was this John who was pointing to Jesus and said, "Hey, he's the Lamb of God. He's going to be the Savior of the world. He's the Messiah." But now, under crisis, under a hard time, he now begins to question being in that miserable prison. So with that in mind, you'll look at verse 2, chapter 11 of Matthew. "And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him," or saying to the Lord, "Are you the coming one, or do we really look to another?" See, he's doubting now. Maybe he wasn't the Lamb of God. Maybe we are looking for somebody else. Notice, he's making a judgment under the circumstances. Now notice the response that Jesus gave in verse 4. "And Jesus answered and said to them," that is John's disciples, "Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them." Marvelous things. Who was doing that? It was Jesus, right? Was not Jesus healing? Didn't he cleanse the leper and so on? But notice verse 6. Jesus wraps up this response that the disciples would give to John when he got back to the prison. "And blessed is he who is not offended because of me." You know what he's saying? And I heard, I think it was David Jeremiah some time back. He rephrased that a little bit. If I recall right, I put that on the thing there. Yeah. Here's another way of putting that verse, and I loved it. "And blessed is he who does not get upset with the way I do things." Wow. may not understand everything, but by faith you can trust him that in the end it's going to work out one way or another. It may not be according to our own plans, our own expectations, but the point is, don't get upset with the way God does things. He's going to work it out the way he will, and it's before our or for our benefit, our pleasure on that. Well, I can only imagine what it was like when the Lord himself was facing the cross. He knew what was going to take place. It would be a miserable, hard time, full of suffering. And yet, knowing all that he would have to endure on a cross, he says, "Not my will, but thine be done." That's a perfect example of what we have here, of the response Jesus gave to those disciples of John. "Not my will, but thine be done." Let's set aside our wills, our desires, our ambitions, and keep our eyes on Jesus. For once again, and I move on, this is a precious truth coming by the words of Paul, 1 Corinthians 2:9. "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor hath entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." Think about that. It's far beyond what we can imagine. We can't see it all, but it's extremely important. So with that said, I knew it was one little thing that I'm going to put here. The best is yet to come. How can you say that when we don't know how everything's going to work out? The best is going to yet to come. How? And I put on here, for those who love, trust him, for those who believe him. And with the outcome, what it would be, you all read it to me, the last line there. To God be the glory. Can we say it louder? To God be the glory. Again, to God be the glory. The suffering of the missionary going out, it can be horrendous and it's challenging. They are doing what God has called them to do. They may suffer the consequences of it, but to God be the glory. In the same way with you. As we continue our study tomorrow, you're going to see where you fit into the picture. Very well. It's not just those who go out overseas, some other country, and are threatened. It's right where you are. But that's tomorrow. Lord, I pray you'll take your word. I pray that you'll embed this into our minds and in our hearts. So under any kind of circumstances, oh God, help us that we'll trust you, we'll believe you, and give you the glory for it all. In Jesus' name.